Euradio présente l'invité du Comité européen des régions.
Good morning and thank you for listening to EU's Radio, a regional view, for which we meet every 2 weeks a member of the European Committee of the Regions. Today we are talking to Marieke Schrausen. Good morning and thank you for accepting our invitation.
And a very good morning to you as well, and thank you very much for inviting me.
Mrs. Schrausen, you are the alderman of the municipality of Nieuwegein in the Netherlands. You are also a member of the European Committee of the Regions, representing the Greens political group. Today we will talk about the plenary session of the committee that is taking place on the 26th and 27th of January, if I'm right. Despite the meetings have been organized remotely, the members of the committee debate anyway about important stakes and some opinions. For instance, the opinion entitled EU Action Plan Towards Zero Pollution for Air, Water and Soil, a text you are presenting on the 27th of January. So Mrs. Schrausen, as a first question, according to you, what are the main threats today when we talk about this pollution for air, water and soil?
I think there are quite a few. When you look at, for instance, air, there is pollution coming from traffic, but there's also pollution coming from industry. When you look at water, you see pollution coming from industry. For instance, PFAS is a very well-known substance that I think we use daily in our housekeeping and in our households. And when we look at soil, there is also pollution because of certain agricultural practices or use of pesticides. So different threats coming from pollutions, and fortunately also a growing awareness amongst all of us, I believe, all citizens, of the effects of pollutions.
And you were telling us that these pollutions come from different sources, but does that mean they are distinct problems that require a different approach or not?
Yes, I think you are right. If I may use my own municipality as an example, we are a middle-sized city in the central parts of the Netherlands, about 65,000 people, bordering onto the city of Utrecht. And we are surrounded by four main motorways and by a very busy canal and river. So we do have a lot of traffic around this, both on the river and on the main roads. And that means it's very, when we talk about pollution in our area, it mainly comes from traffic. But if we were to move in the Netherlands further east, then there are more, for instance, chicken farms, chicken and pig farms. And that creates a very different type of challenge. And I think if we were to move further east, or in the case of the Netherlands west, to the coastal areas, there is heavy industry, the steel industry. And each country within the European Union has, I think, its own challenges in what kind of industry we have, what kind of agriculture we have. But in general, I think the challenges in, let's say, water, soil and air are the same in that sense that we really should try to address them at the source. And I think that's also the core of the debate that we are having these days in the Committee of the Regions. What is it that we can actually do about it? Because individuals, so say individual citizens, often feel a bit at loss in what they can do about these problems, because they can do, of course they can do things, but they also need other partners or other parties to take action to address pollution.
Different problems, but in fact a common European strategy. For example, this EU Action Plan Towards Zero Pollution. For the listeners of this show, this EU Action Plan Towards Zero Pollution for Air, Water and Soil has been introduced in the frame of the European Green Deal, which aims to achieve carbon neutrality for 2050. Now, Mrs. Schrausen, in more concrete terms, this new device, this new initiatives, this new policy, what are the new objectives or mechanisms created with it?
I think there are a few mechanisms which we already have, but which we call upon to be much better applied. And there are a few new things. And your question is, what is new? And there are a few things. I think what is really important is that the Commission, so the European Commission, together with the Committee of the Regions, has formed a platform for stakeholders from, say, civil society, from industry, and from the academic world. So it brings together parties from very different nature, but to really develop strategies that help different communities. And that's really important. That's one new mechanism. A second one that's called for is, that's maybe not a mechanism as it is more of an action. And that's a quite an, I feel I'm really looking forward to the debate in the committee tomorrow. That is, it says the automotive industry should take again one step further and talk about Euro 7 rather than Euro 6. Probably that really means make our automobiles even cleaner than they are already. That's a big step. So that's a second example. I think a third one is, please stop emitting like PFAS into the open or into a drink, into rivers and into the soil. Very important. Because PFAS, I have called it often a blessing in disguise, or to quote, it's rather ironic. Is it not ironic? We have used PFAS in so many ways and enjoyed its benefits. But there is a very dark side to it. And I think there is only one way to stop the dark side and to stop using it. So the opinion has, on the one hand, it calls for certain structures to be in place, and it calls for direct actions.
And for this BFAS, you were talking about all Europe or mainly the Netherlands?
No, this is all, the opinion is Europe. And I think that's really important that we, you know, pollution doesn't stop at borders.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. But, and that applies to soil, it applies to water, it applies to air. So we do need to have a very a European approach in this.
And will it be enough? Because if pollution doesn't know any borders, and we remember how hard had been the international negotiations during the COP26, for example, is the global nature of these environmental problems will be an obstacle to the success of the European Green Deal, for example, or the European Action Plan towards zero pollution?
Well, you know, it's very easy to get bogged down by the magnitude of the problems that we are seeing. But on the other hand, I also do really believe that we do have tools to reduce pollution and to restore also the ecosystem. I honestly do believe that. Otherwise, it would be fairly hopeless. But I don't think it's hopeless. Yes, we do have quite a task at hand, but it starts at the household level. And more we see also in the industry companies that really are aware of the effects of what they are doing. And that's hopeful. And I think there is an increasing awareness amongst civil society organizations that we really need across a whole range of actors, parties, so to say. We see the willingness to act and also the need to act. But I agree with you, we are not there yet.
Now, I would like to ask you another question about an aspect of your opinion. I read you were defending the concept of environmental health. Could you explain us a bit more? What is it about?
Yeah, I think it is about the One Health principle.
Yeah.
And One Health is basically what it says is, it acknowledges the connection between human health, between veterinary health, and between biodiversity. So it brings together multiple professions and disciplines, but also recognizes our interconnectedness. And that's really important. It is really, you could say it is an approach that helps us, on the one hand, to prevent risks, and it helps us to mitigate also effects of crises that we see more and more, and that start at the interface of humans and animals. It's fairly new, but I think it acknowledges the complexity of our world and how we relate to animals and animals to us, both ways, that it has an effect. So it really helps us also to understand how to address these complexities. You know, there is a lot of debate on the existence of new viruses. We talk about corona, but there's other viruses of which we now know that there is possibility of it starts in animal health or in animals, and it is transferred to humans. And it is these connections that we need to be really aware of and to work on.
What part, what role could play the local and regional authorities in such risk of emergence of new viruses, for example, to prevent this risk?
Yeah, I think that's, and it really varies from region to region, I have to say, because again, what we earlier talked about, if you have a region where there is a lot of bioindustry, we have that in the Netherlands, be it in pig raising or chicken farming, very high density of chickens and pigs or other animals, that causes a certain risk. And we really need to think about how to address it. And that has consequences because people are also depending on it. So it is quite a complex issue as well. But we need to think about the risks it has for people and for their environment. But also, if we do address these risks, what does it mean for the people who actually have a living out of this way of agriculture? And I feel it is the responsibility of subnational governments, but also national governments, to think about a transition that is fair and just. It's one thing to say we need to stop pollution, which I really believe, but that needs to go hand in hand with an awareness on a social and a societal impact it has. We see that in agriculture, but you also see it, for instance, in a completely different field of the industry, a fossil industry. We can say, okay, fossil industry has a disastrous effect on the climate, but if we talk about the transition, we really need to think about what this means for society as well.
Maybe a last question, especially in order to better address these problems you were describing us. For instance, the EU proposed to put in place a new zero pollution stakeholder platform. In a few words, can you describe us a bit more these initiatives? Is it about better coordination among regions?
Yeah, the Zero Pollution Action Platform, of the Stakeholders Platform, is an initiative of the European Commission together with the Committee of the Region. So both provide a co-chair on this platform. In the platform, there is a mix of organizations. There is, for instance, specialists in who are doing research in the effects of air quality or air pollution. But there is also industry and there is also societal organizations. And what they do is, it has just been launched, so they have started in December, is to discuss issues, where are the challenges and how can we address them. It sounds nearly cliché if I say that, but it's very important. So if, for instance, we talk about odor pollution, because that also exists and is related to air quality, but also to people's well-being, what does it actually mean? So how can we work together with people groups? Very important, with local governments and also with industry. But we have these problems and how are we going to solve them? So that's the main aim of the Zero Pollution Stakeholders Platform.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Schouten, for answering these questions about your municipality and your work as a member of the European Committee of the Regions. Now, for the listeners, thank you for listening this week's Regional View on EU Radio. Soon we will come back with a new interview.
C'était l'invité de la rédaction, à retrouver sur euradio.fr.